All right, you bunch of worry words, I got a stat for you, all right? We got 85% of what we worry about never actually happens.
So you're telling me I still got 15% I can hang on to?
Yes, but that's not... So most of what you spend your time daily worrying about will never come to pass.
Well, I know some professional worriers.
I count myself among them.
And so I imagine that men may not call it worry. Mm. You know, like that doesn't seem like, you know,
it's not manly word, enough. Yeah.
Like men are never on a diet.
We're bulking up.
Yeah, bulking up, watching what I eat, dropping some LBs, that type thing. We're never like, yeah, I'm on a diet trying to, you know, lose weight, fit in those jeans. Guys won't usually say that kind of stuff. Yeah. So the pain point here is what future uncertainties like career, family, health create worry for you. And I can sense across America us saying things like career, family, money, health, makes everybody clench up, right?
Yeah.
Those are just things that we all have to deal with on a daily basis. And you're worried about, well, that those test results or my review's coming up, whatever it is. So how does the unknown rob peace and joy from our present everyday lives?
I know for... me and my wife, it was interesting to see how her health scare kind of did that to us. We joke about having aged our marriage by a decade in a span of a year because of all the health issues and the job issues and the financial worry. But during that time frame of the height of her health problems, there was no moment to enjoy the time we had with each other. It was always worrying about, all right, when the test result come in, what's the next step? How are we going to afford the surgery? What does this look like health wise for us when we got to buy groceries? Is that we going to be able to cover the cost of these new, you know, the diets we have to go on now? Or, you know, how does that affect her family? How does that affect our kids whenever we have them? That kind of thing.
Sure.
And I realized that there will never be a day where I run out of things to worry about. I will always find new things. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I've had to really sit down and be very honest with myself of like, okay, am I letting the worry cloud my view of these moments with my wife? Am I able to enjoy the blessing of the other things that God has given me? Mm-hmm. And let that not be overshadowed by the worry of everything else. Because, like, we are very negative creatures.
Sure.
When you are told negative information, I mean, there's a reason that we talk about the compliment sandwich, right? That we almost have to, like, ease you into it where it's got to give you good, bad, and then good. Because all we do is focus on the negative.
Sure.
And so we as humans, I think we find it very difficult. Very difficult to focus on the positives. And it, you know, we talked about this. Everything's a muscle. It does not happen overnight.
Sure.
It does not wake up and you're like, oh, don't worry no more. I got it.
Right.
And so it definitely is a struggle if you're not actively taking steps to walk the path of, yeah, there's a lot to worry about and, you know, that's its own thing, but I need to focus on, you know, all the blessing God has given me of.
Sure.
There's a roof over my head. You know, there's groceries in the pantry right now. Mm-hmm. You know, currently my family is healthy, you know, that kind of stuff. Cause you know, Bob talks about, you know, when has worrying ever added a day to your life?
No, you're right. You know, mom, she lettered in worry in college. And then she turned pro.
Minor?
Yeah, she turned pro once we got married. I mean, you can really focus on everything, and it's much more difficult when things stack up.
Yes.
You know, whether it's one thing, you may be able to overcome that and say, well, okay, well, that's going to pass. Yeah. It's health. It's work. It's where you live. It's friends. The list is long indeed. And if you're dealing with a lot of that, worry, stress, anxiety, boy, just builds up. Mm. I don't care if you're man or woman, men experience worry as well. They may not show it the same way women do, but we still experience it. Mm-hmm. And so I find that we have a hard time letting go and letting God, right?
Yeah.
We men want to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes those trials come along and they're so big that, well, we can't fix that.
Yeah.
Because if we could fix everything ourselves, then we wouldn't need God.
Right.
And so I think things come along that are specifically out of our control, which is an illusion in the first place.
Right.
But we think we can fix and control things.
Yeah.
That are so beyond us, it drives us to our knees. And so I would encourage every guy out there worrying about whatever your list consists of to take a moment, take a breath, and remember that God is aware of that situation, not caught off guard.
Hmm.
There are probably other men in your world that have gone through either something similar or the very same thing.
Yeah.
May not be right now. It could have been 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It could be last week. That's why it's important to have a brother in Christ that you can talk to and share a life with, because they're going to go through things when you're not, and vice versa. And you can kind of like offer some encouragement, just listen, get together, go do something, get your mind off of that for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just how we're wired puts us at a disadvantage when it comes to dealing with stress and worry. We tend to just want to fix that and struggle with letting go and letting God.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's that an illusion of safety in control, right? Like if I can control everything, then I don't have to be surprised and be fearful of that future and what it holds.
Right.
And I can already sense the idea of like, well, you don't know what I'm going through, what I'm stressing about. What I'm stressing about actually is stressful. Now, it's all the same. There's different levels. They're all the same. 10 other people probably within your block have probably gone through something similar. And that's something I've realized as me and my wife have gone through her health scare, that within our very small Bible study group, 4 other couples went through the almost exact same thing we did.
Sure.
And that's a very small ecoverse in a very different area that we live in. Different ages, different, you know, backgrounds, all that. So I think that I look at that as a good thing, and I find comfort in that I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. And I'm not singled out in the idea of like I can turn on people and go, hey, I'm going through this, and they're like, oh yeah, here's what, you know, I kind of went through here, and then we can, you know, come together in that place of worry together, and either he can, you know, speak words to me, or we can, you know, sit in the gospel together, kind of thing. And
it's
easy to throw our hands up and walk away and find solace in things that are maybe not good for us, either mentally or physically or whatever. And so I'd pressure the idea of finding your footing in the Bible and in prayer, especially when it's good. That way, when the hard times hit and you are fearful of those moments of the future, that you have a good foundation that's built on solid ground that you can stand on and go, okay, I'm terrified of the future, but God's got this. Because one thing that we realize as we go through this study of fear is we all feel fear, and that's not going to go away. That's not going to change.
No, I think as we read about characters in the Bible, I mean, Paul went through a fair amount of things, being shipwrecked, bitten by snakes, beaten, put in prison multiple times. That's probably something that most of our listeners, including us, cannot connect with, right?
Right.
So there's always going to be something. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's worse in the sense of like, well, you don't know what I'm going through.
Right.
And many times guys probably think they share something. What? This is kind of a form of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can get through this on my own. And so our verse for this segment is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
That's a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah, my mom's too. She loves this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. And always submit to him. You know, it's we are a vending machine culture.
Mm.
I put in coins. I get my thing out. We kind of like want that solution. Lord, can you handle this now?
Right.
I don't want to wait 6 months for this. I want this now. I'm praying. I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is going on. I don't like it. I want you to take care of it right now.
Can you prime that to me? Next day delivery?
Right. Right. And so we, I'd love that the Word of God is there for us to look at, because you can see sometimes it's time. Joseph being, sold into slavery and had to grow into that position of authority.
Yeah.
Paul, 60 years into the ministry, Jesus' life, born and grew, right? I mean, there's time in there for our benefit to see that there's going to be days that we just have to hang on to God and get through the day.
Yep. I love the part where it talks about leaning not on your own understanding, where it's like, I find that freeing in the fact that I don't need to know the correct solution, nor do I need to know everything that's going on, because God knows, right? And he has all that planned out for me. So I don't have to sit there and worry and write down all these things that possibly could go wrong and focus on that. And I can free myself up to think about, okay, I maybe don't understand why I'm going through this or what's going on, but God's got me. And I've found that very freeing over the years.
And while I'm waiting for God to move, let me do a ChatGPT search on that to see if we can fix this sooner, right? while I'm waiting, I'm going to try to fix this sooner. So that's our first segment. We're going to pause right here, pause for the call, as they say. And so we'll hit you back with segment two on a Did You Know? Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. Sell your business? Viking Mergers and Acquisitions can help. With 25 plus years of experience and 800 successful sales, we're experts in securing maximum value. Get your free business valuation now at vikingmergers.com or call 866-592-9467. All right. Did you know?
Probably not.
Probably not, because I haven't even said it yet. So did you know stress is a natural response to uncertainty? And it's normal to find yourself worrying about the future event every now and then. But, however, excessive thoughts about unpredictable future events can indicate anxiety. So as we find ourselves considering future events, like, mm-hmm. Say you want to buy a house. I know you guys are looking at buying a house.
Right.
And as soon as we strike oil in the backyard, you'll be able to buy a house. No problem there. But you're probably worrying about, like, well, what's that going to be like, next year?
Mm-hmm.
Is the rates going to drop? Is there be enough inventory? On and on. Mom and I bought our house in 1992. There have been a fair amount of rate, fluctuations mm-hmm. since then of inventory, house value, on and on kind of thing. There are things that are going to be pretty constant, right? It's the excessive thought about it.
Yeah.
And of course, as soon as you tell someone they can't have it, I wonder, we don't get that perspective, right? As soon as God said, the whole garden is at your disposal. Just don't touch that tree right there, okay? I wonder how long Eve and Adam started to obsess about that tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why can't I touch that tree?
I want to touch the tree.
I want to touch the candy like tree.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting to see, us stressing about stuff is nothing new.
Yeah.
Obsessing about it is nothing new. So as we share how practices like prayer and meditation, finding a community could help, is there a community at your disposal?
So we've been part of a church for almost a decade at this point, actually, closer to a decade than anything else. And we joined a Bible study, me and my wife, about 4 or 5 years back.
Yeah.
Before that, I was part of the college group. And so that's kind of where we've found a good home of people. Like when we were going through the height of our health scare, we were bombarded with prayer requests and food and some financial help as well. And so that was a really great view into the church and how, you know, we are called to be around those with stressful situations. I think it's interesting about the house thing, because I mean, you know, we've been looking for a house for over 3 years now. And every time our rent got close to being up for renewal, I was praying about finding a home. And I would stress about it. And I'd be like, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And it's funny because that's happened 3 or 4 times now. And I feel like God's sitting over there looking at me going, dude, I gave you so many opportunities. When will you get it through your skull that this is in my hands and not yours?
Right.
And so this year that we're waiting, I've tried to make it a personal mission not to stress about it.
Yeah.
And to leave it up to God. I've been trying to work in my vocabulary. If it's God's will, we'll have a house. Because my wife knows, and you can ask her, she's seen me stress out all the time about housing of like, well, how are we going to afford this? I'm looking at the houses stuff, and this is freaking me out, and it's frustrating. And, you know, I see other people getting houses, and why are we struggling in this area kind of thing? And, you know, how's that going to affect our kids? And if we don't have kids, how's that going to work? And I realize that's a very steep rabbit hole to fall down.
Sure.
And this is definitely a season that God's like, all right, man, I'm giving you a couple of opportunities to work on that muscle of relying on me and not stressing about things you cannot control.
One of the things we have here is trusting who's in control of the future helps with the fear of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times when Mom and I will sit down when, you know, we're concerned about the health of someone in our family has stage 4 cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Business is down again. We've kind of experienced we've been in business for almost 17 years. This is our third recession. I don't really care for the cycle effect that's happening. But, you know, if you let that happen, boy, there's just fear to be had.
Right.
But we'll get together and we'll specifically talk about things that God has done to overcome those past issues. Mm-hmm. Whether it be helping me find a job, you know, decades ago, or us getting pregnant, finding a house, moving, Hurricane Katrina, starting our own business, taking over Uncommon, you know, those things, remembering God's faithfulness helps with the present and the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we spend enough time remembering the blessings. We're kind of like, well, that's back then.
Right.
I'm going to need to know what you're doing for me today and tomorrow.
I mean, we see this with the Israelites, right? I mean, they literally just got out of slavery. Like, God just sent Moses to save them from their captors. And as soon as they get across the river and Moses goes off to get the laws from God, immediately fall back into that trap of, we're going to worship this golden idol. I mean, when they got hungry in the desert, they're like, we had it so much better back in captivity. Don't you remember?
Longing for slavery. Remember when we had it great in Israel, in Egypt?
I mean, we have a short attention span. We have a short attention span now, but we still, I mean, we've always had a problem.
Yeah.
When we talk about it, we are a negative people. We focus on the negative, and it's very difficult for us to change that perspective sometimes.
Sure.
And so it is paramount. I mean, I know plenty of people who will, when they journal, they write things down to remind themselves, they will write good things in a page and stick it somewhere. So they force themselves to remember this thing that God did for me. I've been through this here and God was with me in this time kind of thing. We talked about this a while back of one of the things I've learned is when I write things down that I'm worrying about, I cross through the things I can't control. Mm. And what I'm left with, I focus on and pray on.
Yep.
You know, write, the act of writing those things down does a lot in remembering those events and remembering those things. But yeah, this is, as the Bible says, nothing new under the sun, right? This has always been a problem with humanity. And it is important to look at the Bible through that perspective of, if that's how it is, how can I change and be better to glorify God through that?
Right. Yeah, I think that our verse here at Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, we have a, like I said, a short attention span, and I myself, I'm a realist at heart. And I have friends who are, boy, they just, they got like four or five pair of rose-colored glasses on. Then I have some that are the two-legged version of Eeyore. They're just, you know, well, if nothing bad's happened to me today, there's always tomorrow.
The glass isn't empty. The glass is full of sand.
Right, right. So I think us remembering that there is scripture speaking to us specifically about these things. And so our challenge this week is to choose a verse about God's sovereignty to meditate and reflect on daily this month, every day, and share how it helps you trust God with the future. There are countless verses out there that gives peace and comfort no matter what we're going through. And I think if we can spend time, just write it down, put a note on your phone as a reminder every day, say 8:30 in the morning, before your day kicks off and you start worrying, give you that verse to repeat to yourself for 30 days to help us all kind of remember that God works for the good of those who love him.
Yeah, I mean, as we've kind of gone through this month and we've touched on the different faces of fear and what that can do to us, I think you can see the constant thread throughout all of these has been prayer and scripture and community.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are easy things we can do to start building good habits, because sometimes we look at easy things like writing down a Bible verse and meditating on it daily and think, oh, that's too small. Y'all got to start somewhere.
Sure.
And if it just takes you writing down on a sticky note and slapping on your mirror in the morning when you're getting ready for work, to read that, meditate on it, or even, you know, listen to the Bible as you drive. And there's plenty of apps out there that read you the Bible, do a Bible reading plan, or whatever that is. Whatever you need to start small and to build upon. There is no shame in starting small and getting bigger in that kind of area. But I think, you know, praying on it, spending time in God's Word, and finding a community, that is the building blocks for helping you overcome fear in any area.
Sure.
Fear of future, fear of finances, fear of failure, anything. And I think that, you know, as we've gone through the series, that we realize that, you know, we are very small, and it is a requirement to rely on God, who is very big for us in these moments of fear.
Right.
And you can't do it alone. That you cannot do this alone.
Sure. And if you need something, a resource, I know this great podcast, these two guys that are committed to helping guys. So I hope this fear series, and we're trying to do a series on a topic. We're not trying to beat a dead horse with podcast after podcast about something. We're trying to do a series at a time. That way we can kind of unpack different angles of that topic. Mm-hmm. And so this is the last one around fear. And so I hope that you got a chance to go hear all of them. And if not, go do so. And you find some comfort in that. And again, if you need anything, reach out to us at Uncommon. Visit our website at uncommon.org. You can take part in any of our social posts. Engagement is crucial. The worst thing you can do is to listen to this and then do nothing.
Yeah.
And move on to the next podcast. Mm-hmm. We're giving you some action items to go do. And so let us know how that goes for you.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, if you're going to be something, be uncommon.